begins with the announcement of Moses' death. Moses was obviously a very important person. He was instrumental in leading Israel to this point in their journey to the Promised Land. For 40 years, he had been their leader under the complete direction of God. It was the Lord who used Moses to bring the nation out of bondage in Egypt, bringing him through their wilderness experience, leading them step by step by step. God was there. God was with them. And in fact, it's Moses' death that separates the book of Joshua from the Pentateuch, from the books of Genesis to Deuteronomy. For because now Moses' leadership had come to an end. But new leadership was taking over. Joshua was now the new one who would direct the nation to cross over the Jordan River, entering into the Promised Land, and to take that which God had promised to them, their possession. This is what they've been looking forward to. This is what they were going forward to attain. To have that which God had promised to them, a place in the world, a promised land, land of Canaan. And now they were at the doorstep, and it was not the time to stop. In fact, they were now just entering into the next stage of taking the land. There was much work for them still to do, because it was the Lord who was with them who told them, it's time for you to go forward. You're not to stay here. This is not your place. I mean, you're on this side Jordan, but you must cross over. You must take that which is better and greater for you. And as I read this passage, it reminds me of our Christian life and experience. Because at no time should we ever stop striving for the possessions that God has promised to us in our Savior, Jesus Christ. As believers, we have life and power by the Lord, by the Spirit of the living God who has entered into our hearts, who has renewed us and set us on that road to life with Him. I mean, truly, remember, we are born in sin and shapen in iniquity, but it's the Spirit of God who has quickened us, made us alive in Jesus Christ so that we might know Him. But we don't just stop in that relationship with Him. We carry on. We go forward. We want to know more of His blessing, more of His power, to be truly trusting and resting in Him who has promised us so much in His Word. And so as we enter into a new year, may we truly strive then to have that closer walk with God, to know the power and the presence of the Lord with us to a greater degree. Because isn't this the time of year where everybody is focused on some type of improvement? They want to make some type of resolution and so on. And it's usually some sort of outward resolution that they made. Well, I've eaten too much at Christmas. I've carried on that from to the new year. And it's time to crack down. I've got to start exercising. I have to start improving my heart, start taking fat out of my diet, start perhaps eating a bit more vegetables. I mean, nobody wants to just eat their vegetables. But, of course, it's a time to start doing that, to get those cholesterol checks to make sure that everything is what it needs to be. But it's not a time just to look at the outward appearance, to the physical appearance. Obviously, we must take a very close look at our spiritual condition as well. And when we begin a new year, it's a good time for us to do that. I mean, we look back and say, well, how was 2008 for me? At the beginning of 2008, I also endeavored and wanted to have that closer walk with the Lord. Can we say today that my spiritual life is better or worse than it was a year ago? Have we seen improvement in our Christian life and experience over this past year? Or have we not? I mean, that's why we take a good look at ourselves. Because there's many people who are preoccupied with the temporary and unfortunately neglect the eternal. In fact, as the year goes on and things get very busy, well, we want to read through our Bibles in a year, and so we get our reading calendar out, and well, I'm starting out, and I'm January 1st and 2nd, and I'm diligent. Well, then all of a sudden, wow, we miss a day and miss a day here, miss a day there, and then it's a week. And before we know it, we haven't been reading our Bibles the way that we need to. Our prayers turn into a list of requests to God to make our lives more comfortable, perhaps, or more pain-free, rather than truly seeking the glory of God within our lives and hearts, to know His power and to serve Him willingly because we love Him and He loves us. Truly seeking Him in the place of prayer. And unfortunately, I'm sure as this year goes on, there's going to be many who even are sitting in a meeting like this, listening to a sermon, and before you reach the church door, you can't even recall what the pastor said, because perhaps you've been thinking about something else. You allow the world to creep in, the circumstances to creep in, and we're more concerned about what we're doing this afternoon, or even maybe this week, than we are about our spiritual condition. Make sure that we're spiritually fed by the Word of God. Know that God has a message for me. I mean, that's how we must enter into this place, isn't it? When we have the Word of God open before us, God has a message for me. I need a word for me, for my soul, to lift me heavenward. So may the Lord help us to deal with the distractions. Take them away. Get our focus right. Focus upon the Word of God. Focus upon this truth. So that we will not just be hearers of the Word, but doers also. May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us as we go forward. 2009 is before us. Make this year count for Christ. Make it count for the Lord. And as you then go into December of 2009, you can look back and say, yes, I have seen an improvement. I have seen that I am walking closer with God. I am where I need to be with the Lord because I'm trusting in Him. I am devoted to Him. He's my everything. And I'm rejoicing in my God, not rejoicing in myself and what I do, but rejoicing in my God, rejoicing in Jesus Christ for what He does for me. Because even as we look this morning at the book of Joshua, Joshua here was being directed by God to bring the people of Israel into the promised land. But God just wasn't just sending them off on their own. Go ahead, go take the land. You know, I brought you here. The rest is for you. I mean, was that the approach that God took to this people? Absolutely not. Verse 2, it says, Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore arise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. He goes on to describe the land. He marks it out for them and says, essentially, what the territory was going to be like. And then he goes on to verse 5, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so will I be with thee. I will not fail thee. I will not forsake thee. Be strong and of a good courage, for unto this people shalt thou divide for an inheritance the land, which I swear unto their fathers to give them. And so God promises, I'm not going to fail you. I'm not going to forsake you. I'm with you every step of the way. And as Christians, as believers, we can certainly claim the same thing. God makes the same promises to us. I'll never leave thee. I'll never forsake thee. I've been with the saints in the past. You're also a saint. You're also loved. Jesus Christ is yours. And Jesus Christ is with you even unto the end of the age. I mean, remember, that was the Great Commission that Christ gave to His disciples. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel. And lo, I'm with you. My presence is with you. I'm not going to leave you. Make sure that there is improvement and closeness with Christ. Endeavor to do that in this year. And certainly you will know God's blessing upon your life. And that's what I would like us to gain, certainly, as we look at this chapter this morning. For it is very important for us to be going forward in our Christian life and experience. Because if we're not going forward, what are we doing? We're going backward. But the problem is, where are we going back to? To the world. Back to sin. Back to that which God hates. And so certainly, we need to be going forward in Jesus Christ and to know the presence and the help of God as we live for Him, rather than to wander and go astray into coldness, apathy, even back into the world. So as we look at this chapter this morning, first, the people were to cross the Jordan to gain their inheritance. We see that in verse number 2. Moses, my servant, is dead. Now therefore rise, go over this Jordan, thou and all this people, unto the land which I do give to them, even to the children of Israel. God would enable Joshua and the people to cross over the river Jordan and to claim the land. They were to defeat the enemies that were going to stand before them and then divide the land to each tribe as an inheritance for them. Now, God did not give Joshua explanations as how they were going to do this at this point, but He just told them, you're going to be crossing the Jordan. You're going to be going over into the land. And I'm the one who's going to go before you, and I'm the one who's going to help you. So essentially, as they went forward, they weren't gaining explanations, but they were gaining promises that God was certainly going to be with them. And they rested on those promises. Now, when we look at the crossing of the Jordan, many times this is associated with the believers dying and going to heaven. In fact, the hymns that we sing certainly highlight this. We sing, guide me, O thou great Jehovah. When I tread the verge of Jordan, bid my anxious fear subside. Death of death and hell's destruction, land me safe on Canaan's side. And so there certainly is an association between crossing the Jordan and death. But in this situation, as we come to this book, it also includes the life of sanctification and the battles that we face daily as believers, as Christians. Because the book of Joshua records just that. Battles, defeat, even sin is in this book, and failures, none of which take place in heaven. And so as these people cross over the Jordan River, it's not going to be an easy time for them. In fact, it's going to be very challenging, very difficult. They're going to have to fight for this land. They're going to have to labor. And this book certainly illustrates how believers today certainly fight and labor in their Christian life and experience, but say goodbye to the old life of sin and enter into their rich inheritance in Jesus Christ. Because remember your life before you were a believer. There was no fight. There was no battle for spiritual things. You didn't care. In fact, you just lived for your own pleasure, your own enjoyment. But now, as a Christian, there's a battle. There's a fight. And it's very, very challenging. But the key for these people to receive their inheritance was that they had to go forward, willing to step out by faith and to cross the Jordan. That was the first step. And it didn't seem like very firm ground, was it? You have to walk over the river. And I'm sure it entered into their minds, how are we to cross the river? I mean, we don't have any boats. There's no flotation devices or anything like that. How are we supposed to go across? God didn't tell them how He was going to take them across, just that they had to step out and go. Just like He did when He was directing Moses. Remember, they were in this situation before. They were at the Red Sea. And God didn't explain to them how they were going to escape the Egyptians when they came to destroy them, just that they had to go forward. I mean, the Red Sea was enormous, but God brought them through it. And now, here's a small thing, the Jordan River. It shouldn't be any big deal. They had to go. And if they didn't step out, and if they did not cross that river, if they stayed put and didn't move, obviously then they would miss out on what the Lord had promised to give to them. And it's the same for us. It's the same for us as Christians. There are times when we certainly need to step out in faith. God has set something before us. as he directs us. Remember, he's the all-wise God who directs us in the best possible way. And so sometimes he takes us and he causes us to step out in faith. And we think, well, that's not the best way to go. Maybe I need to be doing this or having a different decision or doing a different way. But no, this is the way that you need to go. And although it seems difficult, as the Lord was with these people and opened up things before them, does he not do the same for us? When we're willing to step out in faith and to go forward in that faith. Because God's promise to Moses in Exodus 33:14 was that my presence shall go with thee and I will give you rest. You will have it. And of course, the people knew this and they were resting in that. They were trusting in that. And I'm sure there's many here who perhaps have not seen the Christian growth and power that they would have liked and to enjoy. Perhaps you're even stalled in your Christian life and experience. You're not going forward to that closer walk with God. Maybe you're still standing on the wrong side of Jordan, as it were, and you've not stepped out in faith and said, you know what? I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what happens to my future. If I am going to serve the Lord, then he must take care of the future. And of course, does he not promise to do that? He is the one who promises to take care of us when we trust him, rest in him, and follow him. And the Jews certainly had no rest in Egypt or during their wilderness wanderings, but the rest was coming as they entered into that promised land and settled there. That was their place. I mean, God has a place for each and every one of us. We certainly just need to trust him. Trust him. Lord, direct my life. Make sure that I am making wise choices, wise decisions, so that, again, you are glorified in me. Not that I'm glorified or that just that my life is comfortable and easy. I mean, God does not promise us comfort and ease. But as we serve him, he promises to be with us and to give us grace in time of our need so that we can endure anything that comes our way. And that's what the Lord promises, grace to help in time of need. Moses also said in Deuteronomy chapter 12, and verse 9, he said this, "For ye are not as yet come to the rest and to the inheritance which the Lord your God giveth you. But when ye go over Jordan and dwell in the land which the Lord your God giveth you to inherit, and when he giveth you rest from all your enemies round about, so that ye dwell safely, then there shall be a place which the Lord your God shall choose to cause his name to dwell there." I mean, you're on a journey. You're on a journey. And that journey has brought you from Egypt through the wilderness, now going across the Jordan, entering into this place of rest. And this rest, obviously, then is a picture of the rest that Christian believers experience when they yield their all to Jesus Christ, claim his inheritance that he gives unto us. Remember, we have a Savior that ever liveth to make intercession for us. Remember that. He knows our frame. He knows that we're weak. He knows we need him. So then it becomes very important for us then to be always going to him and trusting in him. Remember Elisha? Remember what happened to him when he followed Elijah and watched him go to heaven in that whirlwind? They were prophets, Elisha and Elijah. And Elijah was going to be taken up to God. There was a chariot of fire and horses that came down and took Elijah away in a whirlwind. And Elisha experienced this. And when Elisha then left Elijah, he was promised a second portion of God's Spirit. He had God's Spirit. And what did he do when he also came to the Jordan River? What did he do? What did he say when he came to the Jordan River? And I take you to 2 Kings chapter 2 and verse 13. And this is what he did. He took up also the mantle of Elijah. It's an item of clothing from Elijah. Fell from him and went back and stood by the bank of Jordan. So he returned. and he's standing at the bank of the Jordan River, and he took the mantle of Elijah and fell from him and smote the waters and said, "Where is the God of Elijah?" And that's what he said. He asked the question, "Where's the God of Elijah? Where is the God that Elijah served? I now have a double portion of that spirit, that one who is powerful, who can do all things, who controls and directs heaven and space. Where is the God of Elijah?" And when he also had smitten the waters, they parted hither and thither, and Elisha went over. When the sons of the prophets, which were to view at Jericho, saw him, they said, "The spirit of Elijah doth rest on Elijah." You see, he trusted God completely. And when he came to that river, he didn't see it as a roadblock or a barrier for going forward. He just cried out, "Where are you, Lord? Where are you?" The God who's all powerful, he smotes the river, it parts, he walks on dry land. And oftentimes, you know, we face circumstances that seem like barriers to us, even barriers to our future and our future happiness. We think, well, I mean, especially young people, I want to go to a certain school, and, well, all of a sudden, I wasn't admitted to that school. And then I have to go to a school perhaps that I don't want to go to. Well, you ever thought that perhaps if you'd gone to the first place that it might have been worse for you, even spiritually? You might have come across other young people that would have led you astray, taught you the ways of the world, taught you the ways of sin, and that perhaps the Lord directing to the other place was best because there you would find maybe a Christian friend, maybe a group of believers, and then be more encouraged and strengthened in your faith. God makes no mistakes. And there's times when perhaps something is a barrier when actually it's not. And God says for you, go forward. Make sure you're going forward with me. Stepping out in faith, trusting God. I mean, even when circumstances seem contrary to that, there are no barriers with God. Remember that. I mean, we see certain circumstances in our life as barriers. But there are no barriers with God. God always makes the crooked paths straight. And there's always an answer with Him. The key is trusting Him. That's the most important thing. Elijah trusted God. Elisha now goes forward trusting God. And he was able to do great things because he trusted the Lord. And remember, the same Spirit that filled Elijah fills you and me. It's the same Spirit. It's not that God had given him some special spirit way back in the past. No, he gives us also his Holy Spirit. Are we also not the temple of the Holy Ghost, the Holy Ghost dwelling in us? Did not Christ say, "I'm going to send you a comforter because I'm taken away"? We have the same Spirit of God. And so as we go forward in the Lord, there's no barriers for us. God makes a way. As long as we go forward and we prove Him. We prove Him by faith. Where is the God of Elijah? He is certainly alive today. And He is certainly willing to direct us. And so what side of Jordan are you on? Are you still waiting around? Waiting for God to do some special manifestation? I mean, I remember some time ago I was at one of the other churches and had a chance to talk to a lady there. And she wasn't willing to come to Christ because she was waiting for some special manifestation of God, that God would strike the place or do something supernatural. And that reminded me of Naaman and how, remember Naaman, he wanted to be healed. He went to Israel in order to be healed from leprosy. He was a leper. And when he went to Elisha, he was expecting God to strike the place, that, I don't know, clouds would come over, some supernatural thing would happen. But what was Elisha's instruction to Naaman? You just go into the Jordan River and wash 7 times. That's it. Simple task. And as you obey, as you follow, then Naaman, you will be healed. And of course, at first, Naaman was upset. He's angry. He went away. But then one of his servants was the voice of reason and said, "Master, it's just a simple simple task, a simple thing. Why don't you just do it? And when he just submitted himself, he humbled himself, submitted himself to the direction of the prophet, what happened to him? Obviously, he was healed. He knew the power of God. You know, sometimes I think we complicate things too much with our lives. And we look at this aspect of our life and this circumstance and, oh, I've got this happening. And nobody's dealing with the problems that I have. We all have unique problems. But, you know, we're all human and we're all facing the very same issues most of the time. And as God delivered Naaman and healed him, certainly he also heals us from our diseases. He heals us from our sins. He washes us and cleanses us from our sins. Because he points us to the best source of healing, Jesus Christ. I mean, that's why Jesus Christ came, isn't it? I mean, Christ came into this world to save sinners. He came to give himself an offering and a sacrifice for sin so that we might be restored back to God, to enjoy a relationship with God, and then to rest on his promises that he has declared to us in his word. That's the God that we have, the God who loves us, that God who gave himself for us. What side of Jordan are you on? Don't be waiting around, but go forward trusting him, making sure that you're serving him with all your heart. Because as we go on now in verses 3 and 4, God certainly promised to Joshua that Israel would enter into the land. They would enter into blessing, into the possessions that he had promised to them. Verse 3, every place that the sole of your foot shall tread upon, that have I given unto you, as I said unto Moses, from the wilderness of this Lebanon, even unto the great river, the river Euphrates, all the land of the Hittites, and unto the great sea toward the going down of the sun, shall be your coast. Here's your land. I'm even going to describe it for you. I'm going to set the boundaries for you, so that you know of a surety that you will have this. This is yours. And so, here is a motivation. Don't just be standing on this side of Jordan. Go across. Look at what God has for you. And certainly over the centuries, God has affirmed that promise. In his first words to Abraham, he promised Abraham, you're going to have a land. You're going to have a possession. And over again, he promised that. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Israel. And in fact, those are his last words to Moses as well. That they were going to possess a land. They were going to have a place. And that God was going to enable them to claim that land for themselves, even as he has promised. There would be no repetition of the fear and unbelief that they had at Kadesh Barnea, at the defeat that they had there. God had already given them the land. That was already there. And it was already theirs. It was their possession. But it was their responsibility to step out and claim it, to take it for themselves. And the same promise of victory that God had given to Moses in the past, certainly he affirmed that to Joshua, and to carefully define the borders of the land, it's theirs. Take it. Take it. It's all you need to do. And, I mean, what's the lesson for God's people today? I mean, what's the lesson that we have as we look at that passage? Certainly, we have to claim the promises, the possessions that God has given to us as well. Remember, we are the spiritual children of Abraham. All the promises that were directed to Abraham are also directed to us as well. And Paul certainly highlights that in Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 1, verse 3. We have all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Not just some, all. All spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he has chosen us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestinated us unto the adoption of children by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will. to the praise of the glory of His grace, wherein He hath made us accepted in the Beloved, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. We are the children of God. We have all spiritual blessings. He has set us to praise and to glorify Him and to have His redemption that He has purchased for us in the blood of Jesus Christ, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace to us. But we must step out by faith and claim them and claim these things. I mean, it is impossible, truly, isn't it, to stand still as a Christian and not realize that which God has promised to us in His Word, and to possess these things. I mean, in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 1, therefore, leaving the principles of the doctrine of Christ, let us go on. Let us go on unto perfection, not laying again the foundation of repentance from dead works and of faith towards God. I mean, we have to go on. We're not laying a foundation of dead works, but that which is directed by faith in Jesus Christ. Now, every person has pockets. I'm sure you have a pocket somewhere, especially men. We have to have our pockets because, well, we have to have a place to put our wallet, our keys, and certainly we need breath mints. In fact, Dr. Saunders, just in the back room, he gave me a gift of breath mints. So I don't know if he was giving me a message also in that. But in any case, I mean, we have to carry stuff. I mean, ladies, I mean, if you look into a woman's purse, I'm sure the whole universe is there, isn't it? I mean, if ever you need anything, somebody, oh, just let me get it from my purse. And, oh, there it is. Doesn't matter what it is. I mean, especially young people, you know, as you go to your mom and dad, well, can I have a piece of gum or a mint, a comb, a tissue, a dollar? Doesn't matter what it is. Oh, mom has it. Band-aid. Yep, right there in my purse. And just, it's there. It's there. And children know that when they go to their mom and dad, the parent is able to meet their needs, no matter what the need is. Their needs are met. And it's not unlike our privilege as God's children. At salvation, we're placed in Christ, granted full access to all the valuable resources God offers to us. I mean, we have His wisdom. I mean, His Word is a lamp unto our feet, a light unto our pathway. We have access to the wisdom of God right here in the book. We have forgiveness and grace. I mean, we read from Ephesians, in whom we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace. I mean, we have a perspective on life that gives us hope and confidence, even when times are their toughest. We never give up because He never gives up on us. He is the one who said, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. God is the one who lavishes His resources on us, because we have all things according to the riches of His grace. The whole land is before us in spiritual riches. We have God's word on that, His promise to us. Have you walked in that truth? Have you possessed that which God wants to give to you, the riches of His grace to you? Have you claimed it? Are you resting on it? Are you saying, my God is with me? And as He has blessed His people in the past by giving them rest, does He not also give us rest? It certainly is something that eases the soul when you know that no matter what happens, all things work together for good to them who love the Lord, to them who are the called according to His purpose. And last here, God certainly promised to Joshua victory over the enemy. In verse number 5, He says, there shall not any man be able to stand before thee all the days of thy life. As I was with Moses, so I will be with thee. I will not fail thee nor forsake thee. Nobody's going to be able to stand before you as you go forward in this battle. All those who stand against you must fall. And when they proved God, when they went forward in the will of God, in obedience to the Lord, that happened. They had victory. They overcame. I mean, they came to Jericho, great walled city. They couldn't stand. In fact, the Lord was the one who knocked the wall down and so that they could go in and defeat them. The problem was, when they came to Ai, that there was sin. They had allowed sin within the camp. One person, Achan, takes that which he shouldn't have taken, affects the whole nation and their forward movement. You know, isn't that the enemy that fights us as well? Satan comes with his temptations. Satan comes with, hey, why don't you just do this? I know it's not something that God wants you to do, but hey, you're going to enjoy it. It's going to be fun. It's going to be pleasurable. Just try it. It's going to be good. And then before you know it, I've fallen into sin. I can't go forward when I'm in sin. Sin certainly is something that fights a forward movement. But God deals with sin. I mean, certainly Achan was dealt with. The sin was dealt with. You know, for you and I, certainly we battle sin. But God deals with our sins, does He not? When we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to do what? Forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We bring our sins to Him. He is the answer. He is always the answer. Jesus Christ is always the answer for sin. And God is always willing to take us as we are. I mean, we don't have to try to improve ourselves or change ourselves. Remember, He's the one who does the changing. He's the one who's doing the improving. We just cast ourselves upon Him. Lord, forgive me. Have mercy upon me. And set me right. So that now I will go forward. I will have victory. I will live in thy blessing. I will possess that which you have promised unto me. Because I need it. I need it. God promised Joshua the victory. And He gave them victory. They were able to go in and to possess that land, or the majority of the land, but they were able to possess that which God had promised to them. And God was with them. We can say, even with them, if God be for us, who can be against us? God is with us. God is with His people. Because before Joshua began his conquest, the Lord had already prepared the way. He already set the course in action. He was going to judge the heathen before His nation. And they would possess their land. And at the close of Joshua's life, he was able to remind the leaders of Israel that not one thing has failed of the good things the Lord had promised. Not one. Not one thing had failed. Because they believed. And they followed. But of course, as we look down here, he certainly encourages them to be strong. Verse 6, and of a good courage. For unto this people shall thou divide inheritance of that land. Only be thou strong and very courageous, that thou mayest do what? To observe, to do according to all the law. They were to be obedient unto the Lord's commandments, not to mingle with the heathen, to start worshiping the gods of the heathen. Unfortunately, they were to do that. But as they had a life dedicated unto the Lord, to observe His truth, His law, His commandments, as they lived for God, God was with them. May 2009 be a year where we know God's power and help in our Christian life. Don't just be satisfied with the mediocre, with even past blessing. I mean, that which the Lord has done for us in the past is in the past. Look forward to the greater things that God can do for you. What God can do through you and how the Lord can use you to bless other people even. But obviously, it means making sure that our hearts are right before God in Jesus Christ, to make sure that we are trusting in Jesus Christ alone as our Savior, that we have confessed our sins and asked Him to cleanse us and to wash us from unrighteousness, and then that we go forward in this battle of sanctification that we have. So, what side of Jordan are you on? Are you interested in Christian growth, your Christian growth? Have you taken power from the Lord as He has promised unto you in the Holy Ghost? Are you striving for that closer walk with God? I mean, God wants to give us His best. He always gives us His best. He always lavishes or pours out His riches upon us. Take them. Take that which God has promised to you. Go forward in that Christian life and experience. And even as He says here, be strong and of a good courage. Be strong and of a good courage, that thou mayest observe to do according to all the law which Moses thy servant commanded thee. Turn not from it, from the right hand nor to the left, that thou mayest, what? Prosper. Thou mayest prosper whithersoever thou goest. And we all want that, don't we? I mean, we're certainly in very economic, difficult times. And we, as we look over the world, it's not a time of prosperity. But as we are strong, as we have courage in the Lord, as we observe what the Lord wants for us, and we're essentially dedicating ourselves to Christ, Christ is my Lord and my Savior, He prospers me. He prospers me. And when you trust God's promises and step out by faith, you can be sure that the Lord will give you the direction that you need in your life so that you will make the right decisions and that you will know God's blessing and help and power. May the Lord help us to go forward, overcoming the barriers, overcoming the difficulties, overcoming the circumstances, and trusting Him, He will bring us through to that place of rest where we can certainly rest in Him, trust in Him, and know that He is our God and He is for us.